Okay, for our scripture reading tonight, I'm going to read for you the first 12 verses of the book of John. I'll not ask you to turn in your Bibles. That would be a little pointless. But we'll ask you to stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of God's Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And let's pray. And Father, we rejoice in this day. We rejoice in this service. Thank thee for this gathering, thank you for this special emphasis upon the old-time religion. And thank you that it's, though it's old, yet it's ever new. Thank you for thy word, and thank you for this special message that we're about to receive, that which you've put upon our pastor's heart, that which, of course, we'll see used here in a mighty way. We believe thee, we trust thee for good things, great things, marvelous, wonderful things tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
He has received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Our Heavenly Father, quieten us now and still us as we think of this subject. And do thou work in our hearts tonight in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Someday you're going to have to stand before God. I said someday every person in this house will stand before God. You'll stand alone. You will not have an attorney beside you. You will not have your pastor beside you. You will not have your husband beside you. You will not have your wife beside you. You will not have a friend beside you. Someday every person in this house must stand before God. That won't matter then, except one thing. Did you prepare to meet God? It won't matter how much money you had. It won't matter how much money you left. It won't matter what kind of house you lived in. It won't matter what church you belonged to. It won't matter what social standing you had. Every person in this room must stand before God. It's appointed a man wants to die, says the Bible, and after death, the judgment. Now you picture yourself standing before God. And you better, because you've got to stand before Him. Bible said that you will look Jesus Christ square in the eye, and then it'll be determined whether or not you go to heaven or you go to hell. Now, what is the determining factor? Bible says you've got to be regenerated. Jesus said, "Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. Except be born of the water and of the Spirit, you are no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." So the Bible says that a person's got to get born again. No, it's not joining the church. It's getting born again. No, it's not living a good life. It's getting born again. Nope, it's not going down on Easter Sunday and getting confirmed with all the family around you, shaking your hand and having a big dinner at a restaurant. No, it's not. It's getting born again. Nope, it's not getting baptized, getting born again. Nope, it's not taking the Holy Eucharist or worshiping the Holy Cow. It's getting born again. Ye must be born again. Jesus didn't say it'd be nice if you got born again. He said you must get born again. Now, I'll ask you a question tonight. Have you been born again? No, I didn't ask you if you joined the church. I said, have you been born again? No, I didn't ask you if you been baptized. I said, have you been born again? Now, this matter of regeneration is a work of God. And God does it in response to something that we, an action that we take. Nothing that we do, but an action that we take. I want to speak for a while on the subject, fundamentalist heresy. fundamentalist heresy. Now, when we think of heresy, we think of liberal heresy. We think of somebody who says that you live a good life and you'll go to heaven. I'll guarantee you that 90% of the preachers that preached in America this morning do not even believe that heaven has golden streets. I'll guarantee you that 90% of the preachers that preached in the pulpits of America this morning do not believe that there's a place of torment. But believe it or not, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And those who've been born again go to heaven, and those who've not been born again go to hell. Is that old-fashioned? Maybe old-fashioned, but it's true. Bible says, then shall he say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all those that forget God. Bible says where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Bible says those not found written in the book of life, cast into the lake of fire. Now, the honest truth is, it matters not if you're a deacon on the board of First Baptist Church of Hammond. If you haven't been born again, you're going to hell. It matters not. You might be a member of the staff of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, but if you haven't been born again, you're going to hell. Now, the honest truth is, you better shake yourself. You better forget about any embarrassment. You better forget about admitting the fact that you've not been born again. Brother, nothing else matters but are you born again? And in that day, you will thank God that you settled this matter and you examined your own heart to be sure that you were saved. Now, this matter of heresy. When we think of heresy, we think about folks who preach salvation by works. And that is heresy. Bible says it's not of works lest any man should boast. Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy hath He saved us by the washing of regeneration. Nope, you can do all the good works. You can give to the United Fund, and you can give to the community chest, and you can give to the Salvation Army at Christmas time, and you can help your neighbors who are hungry and feed them and clothe the ones who are cold and put shoes on the cold feet, and you can be kind and loving and a good father and a good husband or a good wife or a good mother or a good citizen and a debt-paying citizen, a hard worker. But unless you get born again, you'll die and go to hell. It's heresy to say that a person has to do good works to go to heaven. When we think of heresy, we think of church membership regeneration. Now, I believe in joining a church. I believe in all my heart that everybody who's right with God belongs to an old-fashioned, New Testament, hellfire and brimstone, hell-raising, sin-fighting, Christ-honoring New Testament Baptist church. But I want to say this, joining that church won't get you to heaven. You walked down the aisle as a child and said, I want to join the church. That didn't get you one step toward heaven. The echo words of Jesus still echo. When they say, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. 3,000 times George Whitfield preached the sermon, ye must be born again. Somebody asked him one time, said, Mr. Whitfield, why have you preached 3,000 times on the subject, ye must be born again? Mr. Whitfield said, because ye must be born again. We think about heresy. We think about people that trust the church to save them. Somebody says you join the Catholic Church and you'll be saved. You join the Catholic Church and don't get born again, you'll go to hell when you die. Somebody said you join the Church of Christ, get baptized in their baptistry, and you'll get saved. You can join the Church of Christ and stay in their baptistry if your feet got mildewed, but you'll die and go to hell unless you get born again. I'm saying we think of heresy. We think of baptismal regeneration. Many folks in hell tonight because they trusted the water to save them. Many folks in hell tonight because they trusted baptism to save them. Many folks in hell tonight because they trusted church membership to save them. Many folks are in hell tonight because they trusted good works to save them. We think of heresy. I think of the sacraments. I have seven sacraments. And these sacraments you observe and you go to heaven. Or maybe you go to purgatory and somebody can pray you out of purgatory and pray you into heaven. Oh, but the sacraments don't do it. No way they do it. You've got to get born again to go to heaven. But somebody said, well, I got confirmed on Easter Sunday. One Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, I was a child and I had taken some catechisms and memorized a few doctrines of the church. And I got confirmed. In fact, they even said, you believe that I heard a preacher on the radio yesterday. I heard him say, if you accept the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, you'll go to heaven when you die. Nothing could be farther from the truth. The devil believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The devil believes that Jesus is God's Son. and the devil believes in heaven, and the devil believes in hell, and the devil has his churches, and the devil wants you to think you're going to heaven because you're baptized, and the nothing the devil would like anymore. In fact, the imps in hell snicker every Easter Sunday when thousands and tens of thousands of people, because they quote a few catechisms, are confirmed and become members of the church. Nothing pleases the devil more, and nothing will send you to hell any faster. However, there is heresy that is not liberal heresy. There are things and doctrines and statements and cliches used in Baptist churches that are nothing more than heresy. I hesitate to say these things because they're words and terms that we use so often. One of them is, for example, you get saved if you give your heart to Jesus. Now, if you walked down the aisle one day and you told the preacher that you gave your heart to Jesus, if that's what you really did, you're not born again. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. There are fundamental churches all over this nation that use that kind of language. Listen, salvation not giving anything. Salvation is receiving God's gift of eternal life. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even of those that believe on His name. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now listen to me, folks. I'm not trying to get anybody unsaved who's saved. But I'll tell you, there are people tonight in this room that walk down the aisle, and somebody said, you give your heart to Jesus. And you said, Jesus, I give you my heart. Now, that is not being saved. If that's what you meant, that's not being saved. It is heresy, because salvation is not a gift you give. It is a gift you receive. There's a second heresy, and I'm going to hasten tonight with the second heresy, which I call your attention tonight, fundamental heresy. And that is this. You are saved if you ask Jesus to come into your heart. Now, there's nothing in the Bible that says that. We get that from Revelation 3:20, when the Bible, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in and hear my voice open. I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. Now, that's not talking about a heart. That's talking about a church. Jesus is standing outside the church in the Laodicea, and he's saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, you can ask Jesus to come in your heart all day long, but that doesn't save you. Being saved is a work of the Holy Spirit, a miraculous work of regeneration that is set in order and set to action by your acceptance of the gift of eternal life. It is a gift. You don't ask Jesus to come. Now, don't misunderstand me. It may be that when you receive that gift, you ask Jesus to come in your heart. But it wasn't the asking Jesus to come in your heart that got you saved. It was the acceptance of the gift of salvation that God offers you free. You see, more folks will be in hell because they try to complicate it than because they make it too easy. They say about us here at First Baptist Church, that's easy believism. Somebody said in an ongoing, well, you can't get saved just like that in 5 minutes. Tell the thief on the cross about that. Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I'm saying that salvation is the easiest thing in the world. It's just like accepting a gift, but you've got to accept the gift. And if you said, Jesus, I give you my heart, when you accepted that gift, it's okay. But the giving Jesus your heart did not save you. The accepting of the gift saved you. If you asked Jesus to come into your heart when you got saved, and you at the same time received His gift of eternal life, then you're born again. But if you're trusting a little prayer, saying, Jesus, come into my heart to save me, you're not born again. You receive His gift, and then He comes in. But He does not come in because you ask Him to come in. He comes in because you receive Him as your Savior. And in response to your receiving His gift of life eternal, then He comes in. But you don't have to ask Him to come in. He rushes in as soon as you receive Him by faith as your Savior. I was watching in a room the other day, a woman preacher. That always bothers me. You better get born again. That bothers me. Doesn't do a thing for me. Doesn't do a thing for God either, except irritate Him. But this gal said on television, she said, you need to get saved. You need to get born again. You need to be sure you're going to heaven. And then she said, how do you do that? She said, you've got to pray. Now, you won't find one place in the Bible that says you've got to pray to be saved. You can kneel at this old-fashioned mourner's bench tonight, and you can pray all night long, but you don't get saved because you pray. Now, you may have prayed when you received Christ, but you got saved by receiving Christ. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's why they didn't get saved. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. Now listen to me. We have our sermons we preach, and well, we should. That some people say you get saved by being baptized, and that's heresy. And some people say you join the church to get saved, and we say that's heresy. And some people say you do good works to get saved, and we say that's heresy. And some people say you got to observe the sacraments to get saved, and that's heresy, and that's right. It's also heresy for Baptist people to circumvent the plan of redeeming grace. Brother, salvation is a gift of God. And the question is, did you receive the gift or not? That's it. That's it. I've even heard people say, if you want to get saved, you ask forgiveness of your sins. Now, please don't misunderstand me. But if that's all you did when you walked down the aisle, you didn't get saved. You're not saved because you asked forgiveness of your sins. It just may be that when you got saved, you asked God to forgive your sins, but that did not save you, because asking God to forgive your sins is not God's redemptive plan. It is an acceptance of the gift of God, of eternal life that Jesus offers to you. And any time that you say in your heart, I know I'm a sinner, and I know sinners are lost, and I know I'm going to hell when I die because I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus came and was born of a virgin and lived a perfect life and went to the cross and paid the penalty for my sin and bought for me eternal life. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. And because he paid it, he offers that gift to me. It's not receiving the gift of eternal life plus the church. It's receiving the gift of eternal life. It's not receiving the gift of eternal life plus baptism. It's receiving the gift of eternal life. It's not receiving the gift of eternal life plus the sacraments. It's receiving the gift of eternal life. It's not receiving the gift of eternal life plus confirmation. It's receiving the gift of eternal life. It's not receiving the gift of eternal life plus a confession, confessional. It is receiving the gift of eternal life. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. Receiving God's gift of eternal life. I wonder how many people walked the aisle in fundamental churches this morning, and somebody said, if you'll pray and ask God to save you, he will. And that's not true. No, nothing wrong with praying, and I believe it's a good thing to pray when you get saved. But asking God to save you isn't it. God will save you without your asking Him if you trust Him. It's the acceptance. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe in prayer. I believe in praying the sinner's prayer. But the praying of the sinner's prayer is a wonderful thing to do when you accept by faith the gift of eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Now, if it's faith plus baptism, it's not a gift. If it's faith plus church membership, it's not a gift. If it's faith receiving Christ plus the ordinances, it's not a gift. In fact, if it's receiving Christ plus jumping up and down three times, it's not a gift. If it's receiving Christ plus turning around and getting on your knees, it's not a gift. When a person knows he is a sinner and knows that there is a condemnation on sin, the penalty of sin is death and hell, and he knows that one day Jesus Christ came born of a virgin and lived a sinless and perfect life and bore in his body our sins on the tree and paid the penalty for our sins and rose again 72 hours later for our justification, and a person says, I believe it, I see it, and on that basis I receive God's gift of eternal life, and I know I now have it because I received it. That moment, he's born again. That's entirely possible for somebody to say to you, as was said in probably hundreds of fundamental churches this morning, would you give your heart to Jesus? And that's okay if that's accompanied by the fact that you receive Christ as your Savior and receive the gift of God. But if somebody said, ask Jesus to come in your heart, dear Jesus, come into my heart, amen. I'm sorry, that old dog won't hunt. That's not it. He does come in your heart, but you don't ask Him in. You receive the gift of eternal life by faith, and He comes in. There's another, and I hesitate to mention this one because folks misunderstand. But the doctrine that you've got to repent of all of your sins and then put your faith in Christ and you can be saved is heresy. It's a fundamentalist heresy, and it is a salvation by works. The truth is, you don't know all your sins when you get saved. And God sends His Holy Spirit to point out your sins to you after you're saved and to cleanse you after you're saved. But at the moment of salvation, you've got to repent from one sin, and that's the sin of unbelief. And brother, when you turn around and say, Jesus, I received the gift of eternal life, you repented of that sin of unbelief, and then God sends His Holy Spirit to clean you up. Don't miss that. See, here's what happens. We add this matter of repentance to salvation because we're so sick of these shallow conversions we talk about. We're so sick of Christian people that walk down the aisle and go out and live like the devil and act like the devil and cuss like the devil and drink like the devil, wear their hair like the devil and smoke like the devil and live like the devil, talk like the devil, sing like the devil. We come along, we add something God didn't add. No, I know many a person got saved that didn't know it was wrong to smoke cigarettes. He didn't repent of his smoking. I know people, many a person got saved, didn't know dancing was wrong. They didn't repent of their dancing. That's heresy. Salvation is by a personal acceptance of the gift of God, which is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. There's another heresy that spreads across this country. It's coming out of Southern California greatly. And some preachers on radio across America and on nationwide radio. Heard one of them the other day say this. I was in a car driving down the highway in California, and one of them said this. He said, you can be saved if you accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord. No, you don't have to accept Him as your Lord. That's works. Jesus wants to be Lord of your life, but you don't get saved by accepting Him as Lord. You get saved by accepting Him as your Savior, and you receive His gift of eternal life. Now let's settle it. Ask your question. Are you born again? Now let's face it. Good night. Quit trying to dodge it. Quit trying to worry about whether you're going to be embarrassed because you admit it. Let's just face it. Have you been born again? Are you born again? Now just face it. Alright? Let me tell you, if you are, here's what you did. There was a day when you realized four things. Now you may not have known there were one, two, three, four. You may not have known. Nobody may have said one, two, three, four, but if you didn't know these four things, then you're not saved. First thing you had to know is that you're a sinner. Now if you did not know that you were a sinner, then you're not saved. When you walked down the aisle, joined the church, prayed the prayer, if you did not know you were a sinner, because sin's what it's all about. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. In this modern age, with your Norman Vincent Peels and your Schulers and possibility thinking and the power of positive thinking and all of these words that have taken the place of old-fashioned words. And why don't we get back to born again and saved and altar call and mourner's bench and get right with God? If you don't have a religious uplifting, you will perish in outer darkness. Why don't you just go ahead and say, if you don't get born again, you're just going to split hell wide open. Why don't you put it that way? Well, you say that pricks my culture. Then you got too much culture, baby. I'm saying, let's settle it. Let's just settle it. When you walked down the aisle, and when you made what you thought was a decision of salvation, and the time on which you're basing your hope for eternity, and the time that you're going to have to talk about when you face God one day, did you know that you were a sinner? All we like sheep have gone astray. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wicked go estranged as soon as they're born, speaking lies with hypocrisy. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity and sin, Did my mother conceive me? You're a sinner. You're a sinner. Face the sin question. Did you know you were a sinner? Number two, did you know that there was a penalty on sin? And that penalty was eternal separation from God. Death, the Bible says. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die, the Bible says. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death, the Bible says. Now, the honest truth. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Number one, did you know you were a sinner? Number two, did you know that you were under the condemnation of God and the penalty of sin was the eternal separation from God? Number three, did you know that Jesus paid that sin debt for you? Did you know that? Did you know that? Did you know? Now, did you know that He was virgin born? Now, did you know that He was the perfect penalty for your sin? Did you know that Jesus went to the cross as your substitute and paid your penalty for you? It's paid. You haven't got to pay anything. It's paid. You haven't got to do any good works. He's already done it all. He took care of it for you. It's paid. Paid. Paid in full. Did you know that? Did you know that? Did you know that you were a sinner? Did you know that sinners are lost under the condemnation of God and the penalty of sin is eternal death? Did you know that Jesus, the perfect Son of God, paid your price on Calvary? Did you know that? Number four, did you receive His payment as your hope for heaven and trust Him and what He did to take you to heaven when you die? Your name will be called. You will stand before God. You will stand before God. And God will ask you one question. Is your name in the book? Was there a time when you realizing that you were a sinner, sinners were under the condemnation of God, and Jesus paid the penalty for sin, and you accepted His gift of eternal life that He paid for on the cross, and in response to that, God's Holy Spirit came into your heart and you were born a new creature, regenerated, made anew. And the Spirit of God did that in response to your acceptance of the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Jesus will open the book. By the way, when you did that, God wrote your name in heaven. And your name is written tonight in the book of life. They'll call your name and you will stand before God. And God will say, is your name in the book? And some of you will say, dear Lord, I was a Baptist for 50 years. That's not the issue, He'll say. Is your name in the book? Well, Lord, I was baptized many years ago in a Baptist church. But He'll say, is your name in the book? But Lord, I tithed. I gave a tithe of all that I made. But is your name in the book? But Lord, understand it. I was faithful to Sunday school, got a faithful attendance pen when I was a child. But is your name in the book? But Lord, I took communion first Sunday morning of every month, except fifth Sunday morning every quarter, fifth Sunday night every quarter. I took communion, but is your name in the book? But I went to a telephone booth to confess my sins to a fellow through a hole there in the wall. But is your name in the book? But I got confirmed when I was 12 on Easter Sunday. Is your name in the book? But I went down the aisle and they told me to give my heart to Jesus and I did. But is your name in the book? Well, Lord, I was sincere, but is your name in the book? Now, folks, listen to me. You take a chance on everything else in life, but don't you take a chance on this. Years ago, I used to preach a sermon. And I used to preach it about Moses on the Passover night. You remember when that death angel came during the Passover night? And God had told Moses what to do. He said, Moses, you call the people together. You tell the people that on the Passover night, the death angel is coming through. And the firstborn in every household will be killed unless you do what I say. Now, Moses, listen carefully. I expect Moses got his pen and said, I want to make some notes here, Lord. He said, what is it? The Lord said, now, Moses, said, on the 10th day of the month, you choose a lamb. Every family chooses a lamb. And write that down. You've got to choose a lamb. Now, Lord, let me write this down now. I don't want to miss this. I mean, this is important. Now, I've got to know. The Lord said, you keep that lamb for 4 days. And be sure it's a lamb without blemish. Now, Moses, that lamb can't have any scab on it. That lamb can't have any disease. You keep that lamb for 4 days. I imagine they took every household that took that lamb that was sincere. I imagine they looked at that lamb, checked every hair on that lamb's body and every inch of skin on that lamb's body, and checked his hoofs and checked his mouth and checked his ears and checked his eyes and checked his tail and checked his tongue. Why? Because if they do not do it right, their oldest child dies. God said, then Moses, that perfect lamb without blemish after 4 days of scrutinization must be killed. And then Moses, I want you to take some hyssop weed. You can get it most anywhere. I want you to dip that hyssop weed in the blood of that lamb. And I want you to take that blood, the hyssop blood, and I want you to put it on the lintels of the house and on the doorpost. Now, you said, Moses, tell the people to do it. If they don't do it exactly like that, the death angel is going to come over. I can see Moses as he gathered the people together like we're gathered here tonight. I can see Moses as he said, ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. If you don't listen to what I say, your oldest child's going to be killed. All the oldest children killed the same night. What? What do you say, Moses? Listen to me, folks. Your oldest child will die, and so will every oldest child in every household in the land, unless you listen to me and do what God has said. I can see the Jewish father as he got up on the edge of his seat, and the Jewish mother as she said, honey, listen to him. Be sure we do it right. And I can hear the oldest child saying, Dad, by all means, you listen. You pay attention to what Moses has to say. And Moses said, now, folks, this is what God said. And that's why I'm sick and tired of preachers trying to tell you how to be saved without telling you what God said. Moses said, this is what you do. Choose a lamb. Choose a lamb, a male lamb. And the lamb must be without blemish. I can see the father as he wrote it down. Choose a lamb. Number two, a male lamb. Number three, a male lamb without blemish. Moses said, are you listening? Well, of course they were. Why? Because the lives of their oldest children were at stake. Are you listening? Are you listening, Moses? To Moses? Oh, yes. Moses said, now take that lamb on the 10th day of the month. The 10th day of the month. And he said, put it up and keep it for 4 days. You check it carefully. You check to be sure that it's without blemish. Be sure there's no scab on its body. Be sure there's no blemish on its hoof. Be sure there's no disease in its mouth. Be sure there's no disease of the eye. Check its ears. Check it all carefully. It must be without blemish. I can see the Jewish father. He started to put his arm around his oldest child and began to write and said, honey, don't you worry. I'm going to be sure everything's done exactly as God said it. That's God's man there, and God's man's bringing us God's message, and I'll do it like he said. Moses said, now don't forget this. He said, you take that blood, and you sprinkle that blood on the doorpost, the lintels on the doorpost of the house. After 4 days, the lamb is killed. You sprinkle that blood. Have you got it? Have you got it? Any questions? Any questions? And every Jew there said, let's get it straight. We must not make a mistake here. We must not. We can make a mistake on the Feast of the Tabernacles, but not on the Passover. We may make a mistake on the Feast of Trumpets, but not on the Passover. We may make a mistake on maybe the priesthood, but not on the Passover. If we don't do it like God said it, our firstborn will die. Can you imagine how they listened intently? And can you imagine how they took that on the 10th day of the month? They took a lamb, and they were sure it was a male lamb, and they were sure it was without blemish. And they kept it up for 4 days and proved it was without blemish. And then, after 4 days, they killed the lamb. Can you see them as they took that hyssop weed and stuck it in that blood and put that blood forming a cross on the doorpost and the lintels of the house? Can you see them as they did it? Can you see the Father saying, get me 2 or 3 hyssop weed and stick them together? I want a lot of blood up there in case somebody wipes it off during the night. Can you see the Father as He looked up and saw it there? And as He said to His oldest child, honey, that's the only hope you got to live tonight. Only hope is the blood of that lamb that's on the doorpost and the lintels of the house. Only hope you got to live. And can you see the Father and the mother as they went off to sleep that night? And can you see them the next morning as they woke up? And can you see them as they walked into the room where the child was sleeping? And can you see them as they shook the child? And the daddy said, Mama, she's breathing. She's breathing, Mama. She's breathing. I think he sang, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. I think he sang, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But can you imagine some household that said, we don't believe in all that stuff? Oh, we have our PhD from the University of Egypt. We own a share in the Sphinx. We are educated. I don't care if you're educated or not. You got to face God someday. Unless you're born again, you'll die and go to hell. I don't care how many degrees you got. Good night. Somebody said, well, yeah, let those little fundamentalists believe that. You don't think. Can you see them as they went to bed the night before? Maybe they put a live lamb out there on the front. They said this old gory stuff and this old blood sprinkled and a lamb squirting its blood out as I take a knife and stick it. That's silly. Next morning, they woke up, went to the bed of the child. Oh, no. Oh, no. Honey. Honey. She's dead. She's dead. She's dead. God was right. She's dead. John the Baptist came to the Jordan River preaching the message of grace and pointing to Jesus Christ. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Yes, He was chosen. He was not put up to prove His perfection for 4 days. He was put up to prove His perfection for 33 years. His bitterest enemy said, I find no fault in this man. The man guarding him said, surely this was the Son of God. He never sinned. Because He never sinned, He could go to the cross and pay the penalty for your sins. Have you come to the place in your life where you said, I've got to get it right? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm simply saying you didn't get saved because you let Jesus come in your heart. You got saved because you accepted His gift of eternal life, and in response to that, He came in your heart. You didn't get saved because you gave your heart to Jesus. You got saved because you received His gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And then He took your heart as a gift of gratitude after you had accepted His gift of life eternal. You didn't get saved because you got baptized. You may have gotten saved the same time you got baptized, but you got saved by receiving the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. with the same sincerity and sobriety that permeated the mind and the hearts of the people of Israel 3,500 years ago. You sit still tonight and you say, what is it? What is it? What is it? Tell me! What did God say? God said we're all sinners. God said sinners are lost. Under the condemnation of sin. God said that Jesus came and paid the penalty as the Lamb of God, perfect Lamb of God. And God said if you're willing to receive that gift of eternal life, well, how do you get it? You take it. You receive it. Now, you may say to God, dear God, I receive that gift. That's good. That's good. If you say it, and you mean it, if you pray it, and you mean it, and you receive the gift of God, which is eternal life, then in response to that acceptance of His gift, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. He regenerates you, makes you a new creature in Christ. He forgives every sin, writes your name in heaven and in the book of life. And one day when you stand before God, He'll say, what right do you have to enter here? And you'll say, none. I have no right. Except I received Jesus and His gift. And I'm trusting that. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweet refrain, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to those that believed on His name. You may have done these things when you received Him. That doesn't bother. But you did not get saved without receiving Him. You may have joined the church when you received Him. You may have been baptized when you received Him. You may have said, Jesus, I give You my heart when you received Him. You may have said, Jesus, come into my heart when you received Him. You may have received Him and the next moment made Jesus Lord of your life. You may have received Him and got baptized within 10 seconds, but you got saved by accepting the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Would you bow your heads, please? Now, let's be honest. Let's look it square in the eye. Let's face it for one time in our life.